Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans, to the December 14th edition of the Fantasy Fast Break. This is your host, Spartanzilla, a.k.a. Quaffo Adakwa here, walking you through the Friday night in the National Basketball Association. I'm going at it solo again. We'll get into a little bit better rhythm as we move through the rest of the regular season. My co-host, Take No Days Off, Jeremy, is not able to join us tonight, so I'm going to get it to you solo to make sure we still keep on rhythm and on pace with highlighting some plays of note from the National Basketball Association for the DFS slate on Friday, December 14th. Taping this on a Thursday, so obviously things are subject to change, as we know, in this league with late scratches and whatnot, so this is an early look podcast. Before we get too far into the game-by-game breakdown and the Vegas and the over-unders and all that good stuff, Patreon.com/lineuplogic, $10 a month. We talk about it in all these podcasts and all these different vehicles we have to touch base with you, the fans. $10 a month will get you access to Slack chat. It'll get you access to tools and tips and tricks and all the sorts of things we have going on in the DFS landscape. You've heard me talk about it before. Best $10 you're going to spend in the Daily Fantasy Outlook. And there's even stuff on season long as well. So $10 a month, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Become a patron and enjoy just all the tools and things that we have to offer in the Lineup Logic community. With that, it's a decent-sized slate on Friday. 9 games in the association. So not as big as we have on some Friday slates, but what we will do, as we have come to do on the Fantasy Fast Break, is we'll go game by game, we'll give you the Vegas totals for the ones that we do have, and we will also build a lineup or two at the end. I think we'll probably go two. Tonight's a good night, so we'll go with two lineups at the end of the show, just to kind of get your mind around where you may want to look for your play on Friday night. So let's get started in the game-by-game breakdowns, and we will start with the Atlanta Hawks taking on the Boston Celtics in the fabled TD Garden up there in Boston. The over-under is 224.5, excuse me. Boston, big favorites at 12.5 points. Looking at this game, you know, Vegas has kind of pegged it as a potential blowout, kind of one-sided matchup with Boston as such big favorites. The plays I see, if you want to go in this matchup, the best for me on the Boston side of the ball are Mr. Kyrie Irving. It goes without saying. Kyrie is always a play when he is on the court, and he's going against the non-existent defense of Trae Young. Jason Tatum is another player in this matchup that I particularly like. I like his DK pricing, which I think is 6,300. Let me look really quick as we're going through here and doing this on the fly. Yes, I think he's 6,300. And so I really like him a lot on Friday night. Gordon Hayward should be back. So he's also a way you can look at in this matchup. And with Al Horford out of the matchup, you know, Daniel Theis is a guy, as a salary saver that you could look at, and a lot of people probably look his way. Also, we've got Marcus Morris as a play as well in the front court, and he's coming off a big game in the overtime matchup against Washington on Wednesday night. So a couple of plays from Boston. If you think the game will stay close, for me, though, probably Kyrie and Tatum is really where you want to focus. Those other guys, definitely plays you could go, but that would presume the game stays a little bit close. If I look at the Atlanta side of the ball, Trae Young, so boom or bust. So if you're playing GPPs, he's a way to go. I just can't seem to get him right. So bless you for the ones who can get him right. He had a very good game last time at 44.5 DK points. But I may stay away from him in this matchup, just not presuming that the game's going to stay close. John Collins is also a thing against the kind of depleted Boston front court. Although defensively, it seems like Boston's kind of picking things up, even though you wouldn't know it from the Washington game last night on Wednesday. But John Collins is a play. His price is starting to creep up. But, you know, against that Boston front court, maybe a way to look. And then DeAndre Bembry, getting those minutes off the bench. He's only 4,100. So if you're looking for maybe a stars and scrubs approach, or I like to call it stars and lower price player approach, Bembry is a play you can look at. Obviously, I'm not looking at guys like Kevin Herter. Some people like to play him. Bazemore, not a name for me as well on the Atlanta side of the ball. So if anything, probably only Collins realistically on the Atlanta side. And if you want to be frisky and you think the game can stay close, maybe you go with Trae Young. All right, let's move on from that game. You know, I'm not a big Celtics fan anyway. So we'll move on to Charlotte, who comes off the thrilling victory against my Detroit Pistons. They are hosting the New York Knickerbockers. The over-under is 225. I have it. Charlotte is favored in this matchup by 11, I believe. And so if I look at let's go with the New York side of the ball. And with this 11-point kind of big spread, almost similar to what we saw in the last game in the Atlanta-Boston matchup, Vegas thinks it's not going to be close. I don't profess to be smarter than Vegas, but I think New York will probably put up a representative effort against the Hornets. The Hornets are a good, let's call them a decent Eastern Conference squad, and the Knicks are still trying to figure things out, with a young roster of players there. But I think this may be closer than Vegas has it pegged. So with that, I actually like some of the Knicks in this one. Knicks players of note are obviously Noah Vonleh, Tim Hardaway Jr., Emmanuel Mudiay with Trey Burke still out in this matchup. And I like Kevin Knox. So it seems like he's getting more minutes in the rotation. He's going to be a player for them over the long haul. I think he's starting to figure it out. Last game, he played almost 33 minutes, and he basically got a DK point a minute. He was at 34 DK points in that matchup. So I like Kevin Knox. I like Noah Vonleh. Run THJ, Mr. Hardaway Jr., even though I'm a Spartan guy, I got to give love to Hardaway as a decent player in the DFS landscape. And we mentioned Mudiay and Vonleh. So those are my Knicks plays in this one. If I look at the Charlotte side of the ball, relatively easy for me. Kemba Walker is priced at 9,200. So I like Kemba sub 9K. 9,200 I could live with, but I want to see how the rest of my roster shakes out before I put Kemba in. But I think he's decent. The Knicks defensively, not really scaring me at all. So Kemba, pretty good play on this one. Jeremy Lamb, also a good play in this matchup. He's 5,600 on DraftKings. He hit the big shot against the Pistons the other night. And, Charlotte likes to run offense for him a little bit as well. Another guy who's a bit off the radar, but is definitely worth looking at, is Cody Zeller in this one. Zeller is only 4,900. I think he's a 5X candidate, 6X candidate. So don't mind him at center as well. If I double back real quick to the Knicks as well, I was remiss in not adding this guy, and it's Enes Kanter at 7,100. And he's always a candidate to to 5X the price. He's 7,100. You can see a 5X there for him. But it's all about minutes and whether or not he's going to get to play. He's been playing lately. So that's good. That bodes well. In his last matchup, he had 32 minutes and almost 40 DK points. So it's always a thing with Kanter if he can play. Almost like Jonas Valanciunas for the Raptors. When the guys play, when those guys play, they put up production, but it's a matter of whether or not fit in the rotation or fit in the game. So I think in this one, Kanter, adding him to that Knicks grouping of players I mentioned before. And then with the Hornets, really Kemba, Lamb, and Zeller for me. Don't like the their wing players in this one. And so that's where it stops and starts for me. But this is a sneaky game at 225. May want to think about stacking a couple players from each side of this ball game on Friday night. So we'll move on to the Milwaukee Bucks, one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference in the NBA, going to Cleveland to take on the Cavs. The over-under is 218.5. Milwaukee, also big favorites. They're 10-point favorites as of last checking. Milwaukee's pretty easy to figure out from a DFS perspective. You have Giannis, who's definitely making those overtures for MVP. Very pricey, as we've come to find and to expect. He's 11K on DK. So I don't know in a game that I think I actually kind of am with Vegas on where it's going to be a blowout. I don't know if you're going to get the full run for Giannis. So 11K is pretty steep for me to pay for him. Obviously, Bledsoe and Middleton, the other two kind of cogs in the Milwaukee wheel. Again, you have to assume that if this game stays close, then that's where the production's lying. And those are plays that are not bad. But on a 9-game slate, which is closer to a fuller game slate, I think the other plays other than Milwaukee, just because I don't see this game being close. So if I look at Cleveland, though, this could be a garbage time production situation. They're playing a lot of players. Tristan Thompson is hurt, so that has opened up the door for one Larry Nance Jr. He didn't start last game, and I know people were kind of freaking out. And he only had one field goal, but he still almost had 40 DK points. He had 39.3 DK points, so he can get it done in a variety of ways. He had 3 blocks, 3 steals. So you don't necessarily project 3 blocks and 3 steals every game, but at 6,200, you can definitely do worse than Larry Nance Jr. on the Friday night slate. So don't mind Nance. Not a big Zeddy Osman guy. He's been given the opportunity so far, and he has not produced. So Osman's not a name I'm really looking at. The other two Cleveland players of note, Colin Sexton, he's going to get every chance to jack up shots and do things maybe like he was doing last year in college. He took 16 shots in his last matchup, and he only had 23 DK points. But I like him, to be a guy that, is going to get his, so to speak. So they're gonna run plays for Sexton. They're going to let him kind of learn on the job. And so I don't see that being any different in this matchup. Also, Alec Burks, I was reading some things earlier in the week about him being possibly trade bait. He just got to Cleveland. It looks like they may be trying to shop him out again. So could be showcasing Alec Burks. And, he's done decent since coming over from Utah. The last one matchup, I think maybe the trade stuff is getting to him a little bit, where he didn't make a field goal, but he still got 16 DK points. He's a guy I don't necessarily mind as well. On the Cleveland side of the basketball. So that's really it in that matchup. So I will move us along to a game that should be fun from a viewable standpoint. And I think it is the ESPN game, if I'm not mistaken. And that is the Indiana Pacers going to the city of brotherly love to take on the Philadelphia 76ers. At the time of taping of this podcast, we don't have a line. And we don't have an over-under, and I think that's due to the health of Mr. Jimmy Butler. So you're going to want to watch for news throughout the day. And hopefully this is one where we can get a little bit of news early on. He's, you know, he obviously didn't play in the last one. And that unlocked Korkmaz from Philadelphia, which, you know, at the small forward, a lot of people used him. He was chalk. And so he's one to watch for, I guess, if Butler doesn't go. I just don't like playing guys like that. But again, for DFS, if you see a low-priced player in a position where they're going to get more minutes in a favorable matchup, that's kind of what you're looking for. So maybe I need to get past my own bias and Korkmaz from Philadelphia. If Jimmy Butler doesn't go, maybe you ride that train one more game. The real places I'm looking, though, on the Philly side of the ball are obviously their two studs, Simmons and Embiid. Embiid, I really like in this matchup. I know Miles Turner has played better lately over the last 2 weeks, but I really like Embiid in this matchup. He's one of my favorite studs, I think, to pay up for on the slate. Simmons, I like a lot better with Butler sitting. I think just things open up for him. I got to see these guys in person last week in Detroit, and Simmons is just a talent to see in person. His fluidity with the ball and what he can do, sans a jump shot, he's still able to get to the rim and to make plays. And so he can get the peripherals, and he's definitely worthy of some of the acclaim he's gotten. I really wish he could get a jump shot. It would just unlock so much for him. But Simmons, Embiid, that's where I would be looking. And maybe Korkmaz from the Philly side of the ball. If Butler doesn't go. So you're going to want to watch for news there. Indiana, welcome back Victor Oladipo this week. So Depot's not a bad play. I like him a little bit better now that, you know, he's got a game or two under his belt. His last matchup, he played almost 30 minutes, and he put up 34.5 DK points. Talented player in Indiana is better for having him and better for having made that deal to get him over in the fray. So don't mind Oladipo in this matchup. As I mentioned, Miles Turner has played much better of late. He's at 7,400. So that's a little bit price prohibitive for me. I like him, you know, kind of in a 6,500 range. And I don't like the matchup, but he could be in some foul trouble early with Embiid. So not on Miles Turner. Domantas Sabonis, you know, is a talented player as well. Oladipo coming back kind of hurt some of the usage and stuff like that, but Sabonis is still a guy that can get you some activity in the rebound play and even with a few assists. So like Sabonis a little bit as well. If I had to guess what the over-under in this one would be, I'd say in the 220 range is probably where to land, depending on what happens with Butler. So watch for this one as well. Maybe not stackable, but I do like a few parts. As I mentioned, Oladipo, Sabonis on the Indy side, and then the big two of Embiid and Simmons on the Philly side. All right, let's move on up the Acela corridor. We have the Washington Wizards coming off that loss to Boston, taking on the Brooklyn Nets. The over-under is 225.5. Brooklyn, a slight favorite at 1.5 points. On the Washington side of the ball, I know that Mr. Otto Porter is going to be out for some time. And so that opens up things for guys like Kelly Oubre and the other Morris twin, Markeith. So it's got ways you can look at. Obviously, Wall and Beal are always in play. I know the Wizards just acquired Sam Decker, so but he's not a guy I'm looking at for DFS purposes. We'll want to see what happens there. Jeff Green is also a guy that's probably going to see more run with the Porter injury. He played very well in that overtime matchup against Boston. Maybe it was a little bit of a revenge narrative there. So, and it looks like Porter's actually questionable. So, but we'll, you know, you want to look for news there as well. So I don't know if he's going to play. If he does play, again, just coming off the injury, I don't know. And it was a knee. So I don't know if I'd want to go his route in Friday's matchup. I think for Washington, it's concentrated in Wall and Beal in a game that should be a little bit up-tempo. So Wall, Beal, maybe Oubre in the event that there's no Porter. You could go Jeff Green if you'd like. And then I think Keith the Chief Morris also play on the Washington side of the basketball. For Brooklyn, pretty simple. I know Spencer Dinwiddie just got a new contract, a 3-year deal. So he's a guy that I like playing. He put up a big number. So it's been a good couple days for Dinwiddie. Gets a nice 3-year deal, almost $40 million. Puts up 51 points in his last matchup. Over the last 10, he's really been playing well. So I think Brooklyn likes what they see with him and want him a part of the future. So don't mind Dinwiddie. D'Angelo Russell, I like. GPP only, not really cash game play, but GPP only D'Angelo Russell in this matchup. And Mr. Allen in the middle, Jarrett Allen. He's tapering off a little bit over his last 10. He's under 30 DK points. But at 5,600 against, a not formidable Washington front court, he's a way you may be able to look as well. But realistically, from the net, it's probably the backcourt where you want to go to kind of keep pace with the Washington backcourt. So that's really all I have in that one. Not really a great watchable game because both those teams, I think, are not the greatest teams in the East. We'll move on to Memphis and the infamous FedEx Forum, the Grindhouse. Those Memphis Grizzlies are hosting the Miami Heat. We have no line in this one. I think that's due to the Goran Dragic news, and his likelihood of playing is not all that great as of this taping. I believe let me look at my notes here. He is already been ruled out, so he's out. Tyler Johnson started in his absence in the last matchup, probably set to do so again. Looking at the Miami side of the ball, Tyler Johnson's not a way I would like to go. And realistically, Miami really got rolled in last matchup. For me, the only real play, because I think Hassan Whiteside is back in this one, but I don't really like him going up against Marc Gasol, the crafty veteran Marc Gasol. I don't really like him going up against – I don't like Whiteside going up against Gasol. So for me, it's only Justice Winslow as a guy I'm looking at on Miami side of the ball, kind of fading the rest of the Heat. I know Dwayne Wade has got a bit of resurgence in his final year, but I don't like Memphis. It was interesting. I was listening to some analysts talk today. Memphis is doing so well as a team when people didn't really think that was going to be possible. I thought they'd kind of be bottom feeders in the West. They just get you to play their style of basketball. So be mindful of that. They've got the two bigs in Jaren Jackson Jr. and Gasol and even Jermichael Green up there in the front court, and then adding Joakim Noah. So they just get you to play their style of basketball, which maybe not the greatest thing for DFS, but it has provided them some early season success. So the grit and grind. They don't have the Tony Allens and Zach Randolphs of the world anymore, but they have some really good players. And if I look at their side of the ball here, I like Mike Conley if he plays. I know he's got a questionable tag right now. I think it's questionable, leaning more towards probable. So don't mind Conley, although at 8,100, that's tough. Maybe like him in a little bit more of a pace-up matchup. But going up against Miami, they're not going to try to push his pace. And again, Memphis kind of imposes their will. So maybe I'm off Conley a little bit, although I'd have to think about that one a little bit further. Do like Marc Gasol a lot in this matchup. His price is 7,800, so he's under 8K. He can put up numbers in a hurry. They are rotating him nicely, with Noah spelling him some minutes. So I like Marc Gasol in this matchup. And again, because it is the Fantasy Fast Break, Spartanzilla as the host, what would it be if I didn't recommend Jaren Jackson Jr.? I think last time struck out with him. He is only 19, so you guys got to be patient with him. But he has a lot of upside. His price has come down, you know, so he's 5,800. I'm thinking he's in a spot where you can use him. I mean, he just is a smart basketball player even at the young age. And it's just the thing with him is fouls. So you'll say, well, he's a smart basketball player. He plays the game the right kind of way already at the young age. He's just got to learn how to play defense without fouling, which is a thing a lot of rookies need to do. But I like Saul. I like Michael Green. I like Jaren Jackson Jr. here on the Friday night against Miami. So don't have a line there. If I were to take a guess, it's probably in the 215, maybe 212 line. It's probably where Vegas will ultimately have this set. All right, let's move on to a game that should be entertaining. And if you got League Pass, this is a watchable League Pass game. It is the Toronto Raptors coming off that most impressive win over the defending champs in Oakland. They are going out to Portland to take on Dame Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers at the Moda Center, which is a very nice building to watch a basketball game in. If I look at the Toronto side of the ball, there is no line in this game, I should add, and there's no over-under. Again, the health of Kawhi Leonard is what's holding up, I think, getting a line there. So you want to wait for news there. If he plays, I like playing Kawhi. He's another stud to pay up for if he plays. If he does not play, obviously that opens up production for the rest of the talented Toronto squad. So Kyle Lowry becomes almost a must play in what will be a duel against Lillard. I really, really like the kid, Pascal Siakam, not only just from a DFS perspective, but the kid can just play basketball. So like him a lot, like Ibaka, especially now that JV is out. You know, Mr. Valanciunas is out, so there's some minutes to be had. So you'll see some more Ibaka run. I mean, obviously he's a starter, but you may see him play at the five a little bit. I know Greg Monroe came in last game. I'm not really a big fan of Monroe's. He played up here in Detroit for a while. Seemingly nice human being, not the greatest basketball player. So I wouldn't go that way. For me, for Toronto, it's Lowry, Siakam, Ibaka, and then Kawhi if he goes. So like Toronto a lot in this matchup. The Portland side of the ball, Nurkic is a guy that at his price at 6,700 is a very, very good play in this matchup. He doesn't get all the DFS love he probably should, but he is a talented big man and produces well for Portland. So like Nurk in this matchup. It might be a Nurk alert. So I know that some of our users talk about the Nurk alert, so definitely a Nurk alert. I don't mind Dame Lillard coming off kind of, you know, they were in the back-to-back and a little bit of struggle there in the last one, but I like Dame in a bounce-back spot. CJ McCollum had a very nice night last night. You know, he had 40 real-life points, so he's 7,100, though, in this matchup against Toronto. It's probably better ways to go. I'm just, you know, CJ is role's about the same, but we talked about this on an early edition of the podcast this season, just the way the rotations are breaking down now in Portland and him playing alongside Dame a lot more. So, you know, CJ, I don't know if I'd go chasing his last game production. So, but maybe he's figured it out. Maybe as a shooter, he just gets in a nice groove, nice streak. And so, CJ, he's a play you can look at, but a 9-game slate is enough where you could probably look other places and don't go chasing his last production. Evan Turner is also a guy, but he's only, again, if you're going for the stars and lower price player build, he's 4K, so don't mind Evan Turner all that much. The rest of the guys on Portland, you know, yeah. I'm not, I mean, Aminu, Chief Aminu is one to look at, but, you know, going up against Ibaka and Siakam in the Toronto front court, I don't necessarily know if I want to go Aminu on this 9-game slate. So we will move it on to the aforementioned Golden State Warriors coming off that whooping at home. They're going up the coast to Sacramento, to the California capital, take on the Kings, the new look Kings, the much better than we've seen them in years past. This, on my slate, has the biggest over in the night. It's 236. Golden State is 8-point favorites. You know, you could take the perspective that Golden State's going to be mad and have something to prove and maybe out to get back after that national TV debacle against Toronto. But I'm going to take the opinion that I think Sacramento's a good basketball team, and this game's going to be closer than the 8-point spread that Vegas has it. So this is a very, very stackable game, very stackable game. If you don't know who to stack on Golden State, I don't know how to help you with this. Their names are synonymous in basketball, right? It's Steph, it's Clay, it's Mr. Durant. And Draymond's back in the fold, so I don't mind him in this one. And then maybe Kevon Looney. He's a starter. He's playing starter's minutes. And to round out your build, he saves you a lot of money at 3,700. So any of the usual suspects in Golden State are very usable in this game. Sacramento's, though, where I actually like more production. So I like De'Aaron Fox in the backcourt. He's only 7K. That's just screaming at me 5, maybe 6X in this matchup against Steph. In the backcourt, Bogdanovich and Hield. I like both of them. Willie Cauley-Stein, I like this up-tempo matchup. Yes, Willie Cauley-Stein. And the guy who is playing really well as a rookie, you know, coming into his own, and at a delicious 5,700, Marvin Bagley III. Yes, he went to Duke. Yes, I'm supposed to not like a Duke player. But boy, Marvin Bagley, you got to join the squad. We like him a lot in this matchup, this pace-up matchup. So I like a lot of the Kings. This is the one to stack. This is the game to stack. It's your late-night hammer. Golden State, Sacramento. That's pretty easy with that crazy high over-under. Golden State going to be motivated, but Sacramento's going to be motivated too. So I think it's a close matchup. I'm not worried about potential. So stack up Golden State and the Kings. And if you're on the East Coast, you might have to stay up a little bit to watch the results of that one. So I like both sides of that matchup. Let's move on to the final game of the night I have. I think this is also an ESPN game. The OKC Thunder going to the Mile High City to take on the Denver Nuggets. The over-under, surprisingly, a little bit low at 216.5. OKC, 2-point road favorites. In this matchup, there are four OKC Thunder players that I would cast my eyes upon. That's obviously Russ and Paul George. Steven Adams is a guy that is playable, but, the slate is big enough where you don't have to force him in. And then Dennis Schroeder, who cedes nothing to nobody. He's able to perform. They play him in the crunch time as well, so he didn't necessarily start, but he gets basically starters' minutes. He's 5,600, so Dennis Schroeder is a very good play. So that's the four pieces of the puzzle from the OKC side of the ball. On the Denver side of the ledger, we'll have to look at Jamal Murray's health. I think he's probably going to play. It's kind of as questionable, but I believe he's more like probable. So I don't mind Jamal Murray trying to show up Russ and go back and forth. So they'll have their little back and forth. We still have Gary Harris out, and obviously Will Barton's been out for a while. So, Monty Morris is a salary saver. You can put him in. He's, he'll probably get you 25 minutes or so. Had a really nice game his last matchup, 38.5 DK points. So don't mind Morris. He's a really good player. I really like what I've seen there. So don't mind Morris. Nikola Jokic, great player, great all-around player. He's sub 10K, so like the price. The matchup of against Adams scares me a little bit, but I don't mind Jokic if you're, again, looking for some late-night action. Putting him in your lineups are pretty good, especially without Millsap in the front court as well. Hernan Gomez or Lyles or Plumlee, all, you know, stocking stuffers. It's the holiday season, and you know, stocking stuffers in your lineup. You could play any one of those guys, but for me in Denver, it's probably Murray if he plays, Jokic, and maybe Morris, and then those rest of the guys are kind of just more fillers if you're looking to go high price in other parts of your lineup. So that is it for the game-by-game breakdown. 9 games in the association should be fun and fun to watch. So here comes the part where a lot of people enjoy, it seems like, in our pod. So we are going to build 2 lineups. I promise you 2 lineups. I'm going to build you 2 lineups. So let us begin with lineup 1. And I think I want to make this lineup more balanced. So let's see how I can do that. I'm going to start in that Golden State Sacramento game. And I talked about the kid. He's really high energy, good player. He's going to be a really good player over the long term. De'Aaron Fox, join the squad. So we got De'Aaron Fox in the squad. And since I really am on that game, let's get someone from the backcourt. Do I want Bogdanovich or Hield? I'm in an Oklahoma state of mind. Let's go Buddy Hield. Join the squad. All right. And let's see. You know what? I talked about this guy. Gotta have him. Also in this game. Going three. Kings. Marvin Bagley III. Please join the squad. We got him on there. All right. So I think that's enough Kings. Let's see what we got in some other matchups. Let's see. I need to fill a forward spot. Let's see. You know what? I like him. Even though I think it's a blowout, I think he can get his in the limited run. Jason Tatum, join the squad. We got you in this mix. Okay. Want to fill a power forward spot. Want to stay on brand. Where is he at? There he is. Memphis in the grindhouse. Please don't let me down. I got to get my guy, Jaren Jackson Jr. Join the squad. Boom. Put him in at a power forward. All right. And then I want late night. I'm going to try to stay up late. I'm going to try to stay up late and watch some of these games tomorrow. So I'm going to add this kid. Just talked about him. Starters minutes. Good price. Dennis Schroeder, please come on down. Boom, you're on the team now. Okay, I need a center, though. I need a center. What can I do at center? What can I do at center? Whew, a lot of good places to go, especially up top. Oh, I talked about this guy. Grindhouse. I know I mentioned it's not the most sexy game, and they get you to play how they want to play, but let's bring him on board. Marc Gasol, you, sir, are on the team. So I have 6K left. I've got small forward situation on my hand. Where can I go at small forward? Let's see. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put this guy in at forward because I really – so I like the player. I like the price. Pascal Siakam, I'm going to put in at my forward spot. And then we're going to come back because I think Bagley is eligible. Come on, baby. Are you eligible? Let's see. Marvin Bagley, where is he? What can we do here? Oh, I know what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to get Bagley on this team one way or another. By golly, we're gonna put Tatum in at the small forward. Yes, let's do that. Let's put Mr. Tatum in at small forward. Boom, join the squad. Get in there. Join the squad. And then we can put Marvin Bagley, the third. Where are you at? You are on the squad. All right. So this is the lineup. This is the, I call this the balance build. It's De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Jason Tatum, Jaren Jackson Jr., Marc Gasol, Dennis Schroeder, Pascal Siakam, and Marvin Bagley. So I like this lineup. Has some late night action in it. Has a lot of that Sacramento game. Didn't run it back with Golden State. I don't mind you know, flopping around and putting some Golden State pieces in here. Maybe instead of Siakam, maybe you could put Draymond or something like that in there. So let's see. Yeah, so that's my lineup one. Fox, Hield, Tatum, Jackson Jr., Gasol, Schroeder, Siakam, and Bagley. So that is one way to look at the slate. And let's do it in the sake of time. Let's see. Because I love all you listeners, let's build a second lineup. So I want to – you'll see something I'm doing here. You really want to get a core, right? I mean, that's what a lot of these people talk to you about in the DFS landscape is build around a core. And if you want to do multiple lineups, that's fine. Even if you're scripting, that's fine. But get, you know, some players that you really like and build around those guys and then sprinkle in different plays and differentiation and different lineups. But get, you know, three or four guys. So you'll see what my core is pretty easily. Because this guy, Mr. Tatum, boom, you can join the second lineup. I like Tatum. I like De'Aaron Fox. I'm telling you what, guys. I like De'Aaron Fox a lot in this matchup. So let's get him back on the squad. Got to get him back on the squad. Yes, De'Aaron Fox, you join the squad. And I also want Mr. Dennis Schroeder. You join the squad. So you kind of see what I've done here. Those guys found their way on lineup one, and they're finding their way on the lineup two. So I want a stud, though, on this lineup, so I want it to be a little different. So I'm going to add one, the process, Joel Embiid, who I'm very upset with because I was looking forward to see him in person last week, and they arrested him. So I'm very upset with the process, but I'm not going to let that cloud my DFS judgment. You're going to line up Embiid. And so I've got 51-25 a player left. Let's do this. Let's get a guy we talked about earlier in the podcast. And let's put him, I'll put him in my forward spot. That is, where are you at? Where is he at? I'm looking for a Nick. Where is he at? Let's do it this way. Kevin Knox, please join the squad. 4,800. All right, so it leaves me 52-33 a player. Where else could I go on this thing? I've got three spots to fill. Let's look at our guard spots here. 52-33 a player. Let's see. You know what? I could go a couple different ways at that guard position. Let me go pair up Knox with this guy, Emmanuel Mudiay. Put him in. All right. So even 5K, cool 5K a player. Let's see what we got here. I need a forward. Let's see. What can I do here? You know what? Do I want to go that way? I'm looking. Let's do this. I talked about him before. Let's do it again. Marvin Bagley. Boom! You're on the squad. So it only leaves me 4,300 a player for utility spots. So let's see. We got to be a little creative here. What can we do? There's some people down here. Geese, Morris, Bembry. It's not the greatest, guys. Not the greatest. You know what? Talked about him towards the end of the pod. Salary saver. Let's get him in here. Boom. Monty Morris from Denver. Let's put him in there. So the second lineup is De'Aaron Fox, Dennis Schroeder, Jason Tatum, Kevin Knox, The Process, Joel Embiid, Emmanuel Mudiay, Marvin Bagley III, and Monty Morris. So, you know, this is a lineup, definitely GPP, more than cash games. You can flop out Mudiay if you want, but gives you a sense of kind of where I'm at. I think the core for tomorrow for me, Schroeder and Tatum and Bagley and Fox. That's right, my core right now. But obviously subject to change, as a lot of things are subject to change. So I hope you enjoyed this edition of the Fantasy Fast Break. I really appreciate all the feedback getting in there. Please provide the feedback. You can get at me. I'm at Spartanzilla in Slack and in the Lineup Logic community. I'm at Spartanzilla on Twitter. Love to interact with you all. Love the fact that you guys are listening to this podcast and enjoying it. So with that, I'll bid you guys adieu and wish you a profitable and happy Friday evening in the NBA DFS landscape. Take it easy, y'all. Once again, for all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, for all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, for all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, for all it is and worth.